that is just a bit of Warren Baby Dodds demonstrating there his own brand of New Orleans-style drumming in a 1947 Folkways recording he made partly for posterity and partly just for demonstration purposes, which he calls Spooky Drums. Now, he starts out there with a standard New Orleans parade introduction on snare, and then layers in all sorts of tom-toms and woodblocks and cymbals and other things. Now, Baby Dodds is considered the father of jazz drumming and maybe one of the most important and influential drummers there ever was. But because of the complexity of his drumming, and that it's sometimes hard to pick out some of the finer percussion nuances from early recordings, now, this is a pretty important document. Welcome to At the Jazz Band Ball. I'm Kevin McLaughlin. This is a podcast devoted to early jazz from the 1920s through the 40s. So today on At the Jazz Band Ball, partly in response to a listener, Tom, on Substack, thanks Tom, and partly because I wanted to resume our series of instrument types and their associated players, we're going to listen to some of the great jazz drummers from the 1920s through the 40s. And besides playing some classic recordings and telling you a little bit about the players' careers, we'll also try to break down what was going on technically to the extent that I can as a non-percussionist, or what the players' trademarks might have been, or sources of imitation by other players, and admiration by listeners. So it's Jazz Drummers, 1920s through the 40s this week on At the Jazz Band Ball. I'm Kevin McLaughlin. Thanks for coming along. We'll start out with China Boy, featuring the drumming of Baby Dodds, joined by Sidney Bechet, who is just as spectacular on soprano sax here, and James P. Johnson at the piano, and Pops Foster on the stand-up bass. Some drummer notes. Listen for Baby Dodds' introduction with that snare drum roll and then punctuated by these rim shots and tom-tom accents. He gets two solo choruses in the middle here, primarily using woodblocks and rims of the drum for a nice, delicate, melodic approach. Here's China Boy, recorded live at New York City's Town Hall toward the end of Baby Dodds' career in 1946. Thank you. That was China Boy from 1946. Baby Dodds was on the drums with Sidney Bechet, soprano sax, James P. Johnson, piano, and Pops Foster on double bass. That was one of those jazz revivalist shows that had started to crop up in the late 40s in reaction to bebop and some of the other modern jazz styles. Everyone in the group, including Baby Dodds, was active in New Orleans from the 20s. A good place to start, I think, for our show called Jazz Drummers from the 1920s through the 40s. And by the way, hitting on the rims and using a lot of woodblocks was a trademark of Baby Dodds, to be sure, but it was also a practical concern since those sounds penetrated more readily given the nature of recording technology in the teens and 20s, which makes the sounds of our next drummer even more remarkable. Arthur James Zudi Singleton, who was born, by the way, the same year as Baby Dodds, 1898, in Bunkie, Louisiana, and died in 1975 in New York. He had a different concept. His set was simpler. He never used the hi-hat, for example. That pair of cymbals worked with a foot pedal because he said it interfered with the bass drum. But he did like the ride cymbal, sometimes playing whole solo choruses on nothing but ride cymbal, as we'll hear in the Pee Wee Russell example coming up. We're going to hear three Zudi Singleton examples. The first, when Singleton was playing with Louis Armstrong and his Hot Five in the 1928 iteration of that group with Earl Hines at the piano. This is Sugarfoot Strut from 1928. By the way, those little metallic clip-clopping sounds you'll hear at the beginning is Zudi operating the bock-a-de-bock, or finger cymbals, which were kind of like a metallic castanets. The second one we'll hear is I Found a New Baby, featuring Pee Wee Russell, clarinet, and again James P. Johnson at the piano in a trio. This is Zudi Singleton on drums in 1938, and it shows his affinity for the ride cymbal. And the last one we'll hear is from 1943, and it shows Zudi with Fats Waller and his orchestra. This is Fats Waller's last year of life in Moppin' and Boppin', and it's just all out swing. That's a reference to bebop, of course. All right, here's Sugarfoot Strut, I Found a New Baby, and Moppin' and Boppin', featuring the drumming of Zudi Singleton.
Just let me warn you, Sugarfoot Strut, let me afford you, there's an east tree down where the sweet gas grow. Sweet and low, ginger cake soup, brownies, cookie, digger jumps too, even as sugar, form in a ring, holler and sing, let's go. Yes, I fought young and old, but dig them up cold. The left I'm rolling the coal. From is the side, good as the body's and so whole band. Cinnamon roll, black as old Joe, brown is what Sam is, yellow is clove, the gold is what Yam is, to trouble to turn, let's do the sugar foot strut.
Some more of that mess? Well, here it is. Zooty, take over. Pour it on them.
Thank you.
All right. We heard some nice examples of Zooty Singleton on the drums. That last one, 1943, was, of course, Fats Waller in his last year of life in Moppin' and Boppin'. We heard Zooty on drums, playing some cowbell, if you noticed. And then that was Benny Carter on trumpet, not alto sax. Some real nice hot trumpet playing from Benny Carter. Also Slam Stewart with his patented bowed bass and combined wordless singing. And we heard Gene Porter on clarinet, tenor sax, Alton Moore on trombone. And of course, Fats on some really nice piano. And before that, we heard I Found a New Baby featuring Pee Wee Russell on clarinet, James P. Johnson piano, and Zooty on drums, showing his affinity for the ride cymbal. And then we started off that set with Sugarfoot Strutt, Louis Armstrong in his 1928 Hot Five with Earl Hines at the piano. And you might have recognized that bockety-bock or finger cymbal sound from another 1928 recording from the same group, West End Blues. I want to give a shout-out to the Syncopated Times, which is just an excellent source of historical and current information about jazz. I consult it pretty regularly when putting together these shows. Syncopated Times is the only monthly newspaper that I know of focused on hot jazz, ragtime, and swing music. Each issue includes original feature stories, interviews with the current artists, and some pretty interesting history lessons. I think you'll want to check it out. Take a look at syncopatedtimes.com. It's At the Jazz Band Ball. I'm Kevin McLaughlin, and today we're listening to jazz drummers from the 1920s through the 40s. Next, we have Big Sid Catlett, who is from a younger generation, from Baby Dodds and Zooty Singleton. Sid Catlett was born 1910 in Evansville, Indiana. He died only 41 years later in Chicago, 1951. Although he was a brilliant technician, Sid Catlett is a deceptive force. I would say his solos are more intricate sort of dialogues with himself. He could play traditional jazz or bebop with ease, always swung really hard. With Teddy Wilson's sextet, he was discreet and self-effacing. With Benny Goodman, he was an internal spark. And with Louis Armstrong and his All-Stars, he gave each of the musicians tailored swinging accompaniment. Sid Catlett is one of those drummers, I think, who is instantly identifiable, especially through his thunder crack rim shots, his use of tom-toms, and very musical cymbal work. Catlett always swung mightily. In green plaid suits and tossing his sticks high in the air during solos and generally enjoying himself. We're going to hear three examples of Sid Catlett's work. First, Rose Room from 1944, Barney Bigard on clarinet, Art Tatum on piano, Al Casey guitar, Oscar Pettiford bass, and Sidney Catlett on the drums. The second in this set is Louis Armstrong's answer to Dizzy Gillespie's bebop, I would say. This one's called Mop Mop from 1947, and it's also the Metropolitan Opera House. It's the Esquire's All-American Jazz Band, and it's quite a lineup. Louis Armstrong, Roy Eldridge, trumpets, Jack Teagarden, trombone, Coleman Hawkins, sax, Barney Bigard, clarinet, Big Sid Catlett, drums, Art Tatum again, piano, Lionel Hampton, vibraphone. And then finally, we're going to hear Steak Face, which has Sid Catlett's maybe ultimate drum solo with Louis Armstrong and the All-Stars, recorded live on November 30th, 1947 at Symphony Hall in Boston.
Fellas, one of the biggest names and also one of the biggest frames in drums is that of Big Sidney Catlett. He's here to say a couple of words to you on V-Disc, so come on in, Big Sidney.
Hey, hello, fellas. I'm going to beat these tubs out for you, and I truly hope you enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
That was a live recording of Steak Face, maybe Sid Catlett's most famous drum solo, released as Satchmo at Symphony Hall. It was Louis Armstrong and the All-Stars from 1947. And before that, we heard Mop Mop, a 1947 Metropolitan Opera House presentation. This one was called Esquire's All-American Jazz Band, and again featured Louis Armstrong and the band. Louis Armstrong's answer to Dizzy Gillespie's Bebop. We started the set with Rose Room, Benny Bigard playing a beautiful clarinet. Art Tatum was on piano, and Al Casey guitar, Oscar Pettiford bass, and Big Sid Catlett's on the drums. 1944 from the Metropolitan Opera House. Well, we kind of let the time slip away from us there. I got a little bit too involved with these great drummers from the 20s through the 40s today on At the Jazz Band Ball. I didn't get to Paul Barberin or Ray Baduc or Max Roach. I'll just have to do a part two. Drummers, more drummers. I will fit in one more before we have to go. But first, I want to invite you to make some requests. If you have any ideas, this show was a request of Tom on Substack. I really appreciate that, Tom. We do like requests, either a tune or two, or maybe a theme for the show. But please try to stay within our format, if you would, jazz from the 1920s through the 40s. And if you have a specific recording in mind, let's make sure that it is available either as a link or on disc. You can also rate the show in stars or words on the podcast platform of your choice. And if you want to contact me, my Substack page is kevinmclaughlin.substack.com. Our direct email for the show is atthejazzbandball4@gmail.com. This is Viola Smith performing with Frances Carroll and her Coquettes in 1939. Viola Smith, who just died only a few years ago, she lived to be 107 years old. She was born 3 years after Gene Krupa, 5 years before Buddy Rich, and 12 years before Max Roach. She was a survivor and an innovator, active from the 20s until 1975. If you have a mind to check out the video on YouTube, you'll see Viola center stage behind her signature 13-drum setup, including two 16-inch tom-toms at shoulder height. And it was a drum kit which was evidently never copied, but Viola did say once that Louis Belson, the great big band drummer, who was famous for using two bass drums, evidently did so after meeting and observing Viola.
I'd like you to meet our very charming little drummer, Viola Smith.
Thank you.
You've been listening to At the Jazz Band Ball, a podcast devoted to early jazz from the 1920s through the 40s. I'm Kevin McLaughlin, coming to you from Cleveland, Ohio. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next time.